If you're following along with me, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 17. So if you want to get your books or your phones or whatever you've got it out, and we'll go. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you, certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid in some way that the tempter had tempted you, and that our labours might have been in vain. But Timothy has just come to us from you, and he's brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen.
Thank you, Carl. That's excellent. And I'm going to try and explain that passage to you, because sometimes when we hear a kind of a big block of scripture read, or we read it for ourselves, we go, oh, I didn't really understand that. And we have to go back and look at it again. And there's a lot in there. And hopefully, as we go through this morning, I will explain what was going on. But firstly, I want to start with this question: is what is your passion? We've been doing the Improving Your Serve course this week. And the question for Wednesday night was all about the area of passion, okay? And I have to be careful what I say, because sometimes when you talk about passion, people get the wrong idea, okay? So what I'm talking about is, what are the things that really excite you? What are the things you think, yes, I'm going to really enjoy this? Perhaps for you, it's sport. And at the moment, you are loving the fact that football seems to be on the television all the time. And others of you are sitting there going, oh, I just hate it. Can't wait for it to be over. But some of us, we just love sport, don't we? And maybe for some other people, I'm just thinking of me when I was a 10-year-old. I loved cars when I was 10-year-old. I haven't changed. I still like looking at cars and long to drive certain cars. And so maybe that's you. You get really excited when somebody starts talking about perhaps a Nissan Skyline. And you go, oh, yeah, I like one of those. Or you think, oh, I really love this. Yeah, Mick's at the back nodding. Yeah, he gets excited by cars. Maybe for you, it's the garden. You can't wait till you finish work and you go home. You get rid of the kids, get rid of everybody, and you're out there doing a bit of weeding. And you love it for some reason. Okay? Nope. Okay, but we all have those things that really excite us. And I want to ask you this question this morning, which I think is a key question, is it's great you're here, but do you have a passion for the things of God? Does that get you excited? How did you feel this morning about coming to church? Were you excited thinking, I'm going to church today? Three of you, hallelujah. The room is warming up, but maybe you didn't. But is that a passion? Do you have a longing for the things of God? Because what we have here is we have a passage that is full of the longing of Paul the Apostle and his longing for the church in Thessalonica. It was that thing that he just had a passion for this church. So we're going to do a bit of background so you can see why he had a passion. We've been doing this a few weeks, so you should know that in Acts chapter 17, he started the church. He was there preaching in their synagogue for about 3 weeks, and then they got kicked out of Thessalonica because there was a crowd, a mob, and they kind of kicked them out. But you see, Paul, in his preaching, was quite successful. In Acts 17, verse 4, it says this: some of the Jews were persuaded. They joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. So Paul was quite successful in seeing people converted. He started a church, and that church really excited him. And he felt really deeply about this church. And if we put up the next slide, Maggie, we'll see that actually he felt so connected with them that he talked about them being brothers. 18 times in the book of 1 Thessalonians, he talks about brothers. I think he meant sisters as well, okay? But it was the church. He loved the church. He felt they were connected to it. But he also says in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, he says, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her children. So here's the pastoral heart of this man. He cared for these people and almost like a mother, he mothered them because they were so important to him. He also describes himself like a father. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 11 and 12 says, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So brother, mother, father, he is so connected with these people. And as we read the letter, you'll see the kind of language that shows that he was so deeply concerned for them. He loved them. He felt dearly, deeply for them. But also, there are phrases like this. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, he says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you. In 2, verse 17, it says, we were torn away from you only for a short while. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. Can you see the man's passion? He is really feeling it. He says in verse 18, we wanted to come to you. And then in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, we could stand it no longer. This man felt so deeply. It says in verse 5 that he was afraid that the tempter might have tempted them away. In verse 7, it says he was encouraged when he heard news about them. And in verse 9, this is probably one of the key verses, it says this: how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? And in verse 8, he says for this: for now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. He is saying, I'm so alive because of what is going on in your life, that you are alive to God. You are alive in the Spirit. You are doing really well. And this man was in love with the church. He loved them so much. He was sharing their joys and their sorrows. And I suppose as a church leader, I can relate to this. I've been here, I'll tell you a secret, I've been here 27 years. Wow. Goodness me, you've got to say you get 25 for murder, don't you? I mean, I shouldn't say that. Not online anyway. But why? Because I love the church here. I love what God is doing amongst us. And at times it is such a joy to see what God is doing. At times it kind of breaks my heart when I see people struggling, when situations are difficult. But like Paul, I kind of feel the heartache and the joy. And that's how this man felt. He loved the church so much that he was so tied emotionally to it. You see, Paul and Silas, they went from Thessalonica Thessalonica, they got kicked out of there. They went to Berea, they got kicked out of there. And they ended up in Athens. And all the time, Paul was wondering, what is going on in Thessalonica? What is happening? And in the end, you see in this passage that actually he sent Timothy to find out what's going on. That's chapter 3, verse 2. So he sends Timothy, he says, Timothy, go and find out. Timothy then brings back a report, which is really positive. And Paul then gets excited again because the report is so good. And he says, we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. And see, what happens next is Paul then thinks, this is fantastic. What I'm going to do is I am going to pray for these people. This is what is coming next. I want to pray for these people that God would bless them. And we see that in verse 10, that he says, night and day, we pray most earnestly that we might see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. So he's saying, you know, night and day, I'm praying for you. And in verses 11, 12, and 13, we see what he prays, okay? And this is really important because this is the heart of what I want to say this morning, is this is the prayer that Paul prays for the church. And I think there's stuff in here for us today. You have to say that the church was doing quite well. If you give it marks out of 10, it would have probably got an 8. If it was an Ofsted thing, it would have done really well. The church is doing well, but he wants to pray for them. The first thing he prays is, he says this in verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. So he's saying, basically, what I want to do is I want God to make it possible for me to come back to you. And we know that probably 5 years later, he actually got back there. So Paul's first prayer for them is that they would experience fellowship, that God would make a way for him to go back. I think this is really relevant for today. You may say, well, how is it relevant? It's relevant because the church today is fragmented. I've had two leaders' meetings this week. I've sat and discussed with other church leaders the challenges of what's happening in church today. And all of us are saying the same thing. There is a reluctance for people to come back. People are staying away. People don't want to come back and be part of the fellowship of God's people. It seems that they have lost something. And for me, that is a huge concern. Because I believe that when we gather in the name of Jesus, we experience something very, very powerful. And I want to say to people online, you know, it's great you're watching, but you are missing out. And this morning, we've had that in worship, haven't we? We've had that through hearing Ed. We've heard it. We feel it. We know that God is in the house. And we don't experience that when we're not here. And for me, I believe it is a great concern. Because I believe we're at the danger that people will fall away from their faith. Do you know, what we see in this passage is the struggle that Paul had with Satan. Okay? So Paul wanted to go back. He said, I want to come and see you. But actually, Satan keeps stopping me. He keeps blocking the way. And he's saying, God, clear the way so I can come back. And I want to say, you know what? Do you believe in Satan? I shouldn't be saying that in church, should I? But it's true, isn't it? Do we really believe that Satan exists? And if Satan exists, one of his main plans and ploys is to destroy the church. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. What is it going to be his target? Is it going to be... It's going to be the church, isn't it? Because the church is the hope of the world. The church carries the word of God. The church is filled with the spirit of God. So if Satan wants his work to expand, what he needs to do, he needs to shut down the church. So he shuts down the church. Why? By shutting the building? Didn't really work. What I need to do is I need to work on individual Christians. I need their faith to fall away, to fade away. Probably fade away is a better expression because, you know, we don't just lose our faith like that. What happens? It gets cut away slowly, slowly, slowly. And we fade, our faith fades. And we fall away from Christ. We fall away. We become, as it says in Revelation, lukewarm. And that is my fear. And what Paul realizes is he needs to be with the people of God. And what we need to realize as individuals, we need to be with the people of God. It says, there's that lovely phrase, isn't it, in Acts chapter 2, where it says they devoted themselves. They've devoted themselves to the word, to prayer, to the breaking of bread, to worship, to one another. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the church? How close are we to that? How close as a church are we to that? Do we see that kind of devotion? And sadly, I'm not seeing it as much as I want to. I see it in pockets, but my heart just longs that we gather once again. And at the moment, we are not able to gather everybody. But my fear is when we are able to gather everybody, not everybody will be here. There'll be people missing because their faith has faded away. And I would say to you, you know, we pray what Paul prays, that there would be that connection once again, the people of God meeting and worshiping. Because we need one another. I need you and you need me. And that's how God has designed the church. On improving your serve, can highly recommend it, although only got 2 weeks to go. We talk about the body and the importance of the body. And whether you're here, whether you're not here, whether you're at home, you are part of the body. And at the moment, are you connected? As you can see, my body is connected and it's working okay. But can you imagine when we lose a part of the body and we lose that connection? It doesn't work and everybody suffers. So that's the first thing he prayed. Let's go on to number two, shall we? The second thing he prays that they may be, let's just put my glasses on. Let's just get it right. It says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. This is interesting, isn't it? Because actually, when you look at the book of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, these were people who really loved other people. They were really loved up people. They loved one another. They were a model church. Look at them. They're doing really well. But he prays that their love would increase and their love would overflow, which also means probably that you can never have enough love. Do you agree with that? You can never have enough love. Yeah, looking at that, you're not sure, are you? I can see some of you haven't got that. Can you have enough love? No. And that's what Paul is praying. He says, I want your love to increase. I want it to get bigger and stronger. I want your love to overflow so that other people experience it through you. This was his prayer. What happens when we see the love of God in a church? What happens is that people start to pray for one another. They start to share with each other. They start to serve one another. They start to speak to each other in love rather than criticism. They give. They encourage. They appreciate. They honor. They enjoy being together. They forgive one another. And Paul is saying this is what church should be like. This is how we should be. This is how we should be. And my prayer is that the love of God will increase in our lives as individuals, but also in the life of the church. It says in Romans 5 that God has poured his love into our hearts. That's a great picture, isn't it? Pouring his love into our hearts. And I wonder today, do you just feel the love of God in you? Not so sure, are you? You don't feel loved up today. Because God's done the pouring. Maybe you're leaking. Or maybe you've put the lid on it and you don't want any more. But the Bible says God's poured his love into our hearts and it should overflow to other people. As I was preparing this, it just reminded me of something that happened a while ago. Do you know, we do on the gift course, we do a thing which is a gift questionnaire. And there's a number of questions. And what you do is you add up your score to see if you have that gift. And as I did my score, I've kind of worked out teaching. Well, I hope you're still with me. And pastoring and encouraging, those kind of things. And I was quite excited. But I was very disappointed where there was one column. And this column was the gift of craftsmanship. And shall I tell you how many points I got out of? I think it was 21, 24. I got zero. And then the thing that hurt the most was my wife filled in the questionnaire. She scored me, get this, zero. So I realise today that my gift is not craftsmanship, it's not DIY, but why I'm saying this is because I do remember a while ago, this was a while ago, that we had a leaky shower, okay, and the valve was leaking, and I phoned a plumber, someone with knowledge in this church, and they said to me, if you know who I'm talking about, that's good, he said to me, all you need to do is you need to turn the water off, take the valve out, and just put a new washer in. And it sounds so easy, doesn't it? To you, maybe. To me, not so easy. So I took the thing apart, tried to turn the water off, and then the water just started to flow. And it flowed not into the bath, but down the wall into the kitchen. My wife is doing something in the kitchen. Tracy shouts out, "What's happening? Why is water pouring through the ceiling?" And of course, it was because Will tried to do some DIY, which he should never try ever because he's so bad. But what I reflected on was just how the water, when it started to flow, it just went everywhere. And that's how the love of God needs to be in us as individuals and as a church. And that's what Paul is saying. Your love just needs to overflow. Do people feel the love of God when they encounter you? They did in this church. And what Paul was saying was, let's have some more. You remember when we used to do prayer ministry? We used to pray with people and stand with them and lay hands on. One of those great prayers was when people were being prayed for and you could see the Holy Spirit working, people would just use this phrase, "More Lord, more Lord." And that's a prayer that I'm thinking today, that we would have more of the love of God amongst us. The last thing I want to say is that he prayed that they would have strength. They would have strength. I'm going to put my glasses back on so I can read this. It says this: "May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God, our Father, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all his holy ones." You see, Paul is saying, and if you know the book of Thessalonians 1 and 2, you'll know that Paul is pointing them to the second coming. And he says, basically, may God's Spirit fill you so that you can be strong and blameless when the Lord comes. He is praying that they would have strength. Do you know, I've wanted to say something the last few weeks and never really had the opportunity. And today I think is that opportunity. I think in our church today there's some people who are really struggling. They are really battling with issues in their lives. And what I've wanted to say, and it's taken from Matthew 11, verse 28, it's the words of Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And I think that's such an important message for some people here in our church today. Because I think you are really burdened. You are so weary. And God is saying, come to me. Stuart's not here today. And Stuart's going to be having a few weeks off. So he can spend time with his family. And Stuart and I, and we always joke that the answer is Jesus. Whatever the question, the answer is always Jesus. And the answer here is Jesus. I've been listening to a new album by a guy who's a bit of a hillbilly called Crowder, Dave Crowder. And he has a song, and it's an absolutely beautiful song. And the song is called He Is. And it goes like this. If you're troubled, heavy-hearted, come to Jesus and find your peace. If you're run down, empty-handed, come to Jesus and find your strength. He is the hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting. He is. He is. Mending the broken, bearing the burdens, all that you're needing, He is. Comforter, counselor, Prince of Peace, author and maker of everything, defender, deliverer, King of Kings, He is. He is. Helper and healer forevermore, savior and shelter through every storm, my refuge, redeemer, and Lord of Lords, He is. Child of heaven, Son of man, provider, protector, the great I am, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, He is. Hope for the hopeless, rest for the weary, help for the hurting, He is. He is. The answer is Jesus. And maybe today you're one of those people and you're sat there and you're just about holding it together. Today the answer is Jesus. And He is the one who will give you strength. He's the one who gives you hope. He is the one that you need to turn to in these days. I'm going to invite the team to come up. I'm going to pray this morning and I'll ask you to stand because I want to pray over you these words that we find here in this book. So let's stand together, and I'm going to pray that we would have that connection with each other, that we would experience the love of God, and that we would know His strength. Let's just take a moment, shall we, to be still, and I'd ask that in your own heart you seek your Saviour, Jesus. And you bring to Him all those needs that you have today. Father God, we thank you for the letter that Paul wrote to this church. We thank you there was a church that was alive. And yet Paul wanted even more of you in their lives. And today, Father, we do take the words that Paul prayed. And Lord, we want to pray that you would find a way to build your church once again. Lord, that you would bring back your people, that we would see Satan defeated, we would see the victory of Jesus in people's lives, that you would restore and renew your church today so that it might be the people of God, the family of God you want it to be. And today, Father, I just want to pray that as a church we would know and be filled with the love of God. Lord, the love of God for you, that we might love you and serve you wholeheartedly, but also the love of God for one another. Lord, that you would build this fellowship so that we stand strong together, that we love and appreciate and care for one another. But I also pray, Lord, that your love would abound and overflow through us into this lost world. That we might show Jesus, that we might share Jesus, that we might be the body of Christ to those around us. And lastly, Father God, we pray that you would strengthen us. Each one of us will be able to stand firm and strong in our faith. And Lord, as we face difficulty, as we struggle with various things, Lord, I want to pray that you would strengthen us. Lord, especially today, for those who are facing trials and troubles, bless them, Lord. Help them to stand for you. May your Spirit fill them afresh. May Jesus come to them and be all that they need. Lord God, build your church, we pray. May your kingdom come here amongst us. And we ask this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.